You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today on the show, we're taking a look at water as an election issue, which comes after just yesterday, Federated Farmers announced a commitment to making New Zealand's rivers swimmable. So action to clean up New Zealand's waterways is something that everyone seems to agree needs to happen, but not everyone seems to agree on how to get there. First on the show, we hear from Choose Clean Water's Marnie Pickett. I spoke to...
So the current state of fresh water in New Zealand is very dire. We've had report after report piling up. We've had Sir Peter Gockman, the Prime Minister's chief advisor. We've had the OECD telling us that we need to get our act together on fresh water. And now we've had NIWA saying that we've got 30% of rivers that pass the Ministry of Health guidelines for swimming. So we've got a 70% fail rate.
Why is it so bad?
It's bad for a number of reasons. I mean, there's obviously some real historical reasons. You know, we took down all the trees. We converted the land to pastoral agriculture. But more recently, we have been increasing our cow numbers. We've been increasing the intensity of the farming that we do. We've also been increasingly urbanising, and our urban development isn't really catching up to the water-sensitive design that we need in our urban spaces. So there's a number of pressures that are on freshwater now.
Parties have been putting out policies recently surrounding environment. In your opinion, who is addressing this the most, or who is addressing this the most effectively?
It looks like the opposition parties are the ones that are willing to do the regulatory work that needs to be done. The current government has had 9 years to deal with this, and every year they've basically shown that they are more and more hopeless on this. They lowered the swimming standards recently. They allowed more fecal contamination, not less, into the water, even though we're at crisis mode. They talked about wadeable rivers. They're also putting $500 million of public money into these large irrigation schemes, things like Ruatanifa Dam and Central Plains Water, which we know will just increase the intensification of land use, and it's going to put even more pressure on the waterways that are suffering at the moment and the people who are suffering because the waterways are unhealthy. So I would say if you're making a vote for fresh water, look to the opposition parties because you're not going to get it from National.
So what you're saying is that National has, instead of addressing this issue, they've actually just been sweeping it under the rug.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the first years of their... for the majority of their term in Parliament, they have been denying that there's any issue at all, saying that, no, it's all good, we're balancing economy and the environment. You know, yes, there's going to be some trade-offs, but, you know, we just have to go for that balance. And now we can see, you know, after 9 years, that there's been no balance at all. It's been just a completely unbalanced commitment to intensifying our agriculture and making New Zealand very vulnerable in that it relies pretty much, well, not exclusively, but it relies very heavily on extractive economic processes, things like dairy, things like, you know, they're going after the mining and things like that. I mean, the balance is a joke, really.
So if the opposition parties were to get in, what sort of policies and what sort of ideas do we want to see coming from them?
So if people are really interested in this and they want more information, I would suggest going to the Freshwater Rescue Plan page, which is freshwaterrescueplan.org, and that's 7 steps that 16 major organisations and a bunch of very knowledgeable academics have put together. These are the things that the government can do immediately to address this crisis. So they're things like withdrawing those public subsidies for irrigation, putting in strict and enforceable rules for contaminants, things like really basic first steps. So I'd like to see the opposition parties commit to those steps, and some opposition parties already have. But I think that no matter what happens, once we have a new government, if we want to be able to swim in our rivers, if we value going down and looking at the beautiful rivers that we have in New Zealand, and if we want to maintain that reputation that we have, then we've still got work to do. Even with a new government, we're going to still have to keep at it. So I'm feeling hopeful, but I'm also feeling committed to making sure that those changes happen.
So obviously this is an issue that definitely is followed by a lot of people, and a lot of people really care about this sort of thing. I mean, it comes in the whole idea of improving the environment as a whole. So who is behind you on this? What companies and businesses support this?
So Choose Clean Water is a student-led campaign, so we don't have anybody behind us, although we do get incredibly generous people regularly ringing up us up and donating a few hundred dollars here and there. Last year we did get the Tourism Export Council to fund a tour of New Zealand that we did making films, so we had their backing last year. But we're part of a broader movement, a movement that includes a huge number of people in the public. It includes organisations like the Tourism Export Council, like Fish and Game, like Greenpeace, like World Wildlife Fund, like Pure Advantage, which is a sustainable business organisation, like the Public Health Association. We're all working together on this freshwater rescue plan. That's our central collaboration. But actually, there's a huge movement out there, and it's hard to believe, probably. Well, I don't know how people feel in Auckland. I'm an Aucklander, and sometimes you might feel a bit disconnected from your waterways there because a lot of them are piped. But there is a huge movement in New Zealand now to turn this situation around, and it's become a really crucial election issue. So, you know, I mean, who in New Zealand doesn't want clean, safe, healthy water?
Exactly. Well, the Federated Farmers pledged yesterday to make rivers swimmable. Is this a step forward?
It's a big step forward because, you know, for a long time they've denied that swimmable rivers should be a goal or is achievable. So it's a really big step forward for them to acknowledge that it is achievable, that it's a valuable goal, and to also acknowledge their responsibility and their role in achieving it. But I had an interview this morning with Katie Milne, who is the head of Federated Farmers. And while they're making this really positive statement, and that's good, they're not really backing it up with a plan yet. And their claim is that we need more science, we need more technology to deal with this issue. But actually, the first steps in this is to stop it getting worse, and that means strict enforceable rules, that means a polluter pay system, that means not putting money, public money, to irrigation schemes, which are just going to set us massively backwards. So, good sign, you know, the good sign. They've arrived to the party late, but we're glad that they're here and we're ready to go. So we just hope that they come on board with these steps.
So it's a bit of a loose-ended promise there, because they've pledged it, but they don't have any plan in place to address this issue. Is this reasonably common? I mean, people a lot of the time say, yeah, I support the environment, yeah, I can do all these things to help, but they never actually do anything. Is that something that's happened a lot?
I think that there are some hard truths that the farming industry needs to face, climate change being one of them, and the effect that climate change is going to have on farming practice, but also the reputational damage that New Zealand's suffering, and the fact that clean, healthy waterways actually means a really, you know, it means a significant shift in the way that we farm. So most environmentalists haven't said, you know, we should stop farming, let's stop farming now. What we're saying is it's not that we're farming, it's the way that we're farming. So I think that there are a few sort of fundamental truths that haven't quite made it into the farming leadership. They've definitely made it to farmers, but it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be easy for the farming leadership to admit to things like the fact that we need fewer cows and things like that. You know, good, excellent first step, but you know, actions speak louder than words.
I also spoke to John King, an eco-farmer who is concerned about the future of New Zealand's waterways. I started off by asking John about what responsibility farmers have when it comes to addressing water and environmental issues in New Zealand.
Yeah, of course they do. I mean, they have a role in ensuring that the water is good. I mean, they have to use it in their business. And I think it's more than just the farmers, though. I think the whole industry needs to take responsibility for it, and I don't think that's actually happening.
So how do you think this change could be facilitated? Do you think the government needs to step in, or do you think it's on the onus of the community and the farmers to do this?
I think it's all three of those things. I think that, you know, if the danger of regulation is that it will box farmers into a situation where they may not be able to be viable anymore. And so, one of the things we need to realise is that the people that make decisions on the land need to have that responsibility. Okay, but at the same time, there also needs to be some clear information, and we're not getting that right now in the industry, between agricultural science about maximising production and environmental science, which is about a more balanced approach, and we're actually not getting that in the industry.
So there's this idea that the interests of farmers and the environmental interests are inherently at odds with each other. Is it possible just to work for these things to work hand in hand and benefit both parties?
Absolutely. And the science about that's already out there. One side of the fence, you've got the environmentalists, and you know, that's all about having ecosystems where there's no human interaction at all. And then you've got, on the other side of the fence, you've got the farmer, where you know the ecosystem is seen as something to be dominated and controlled. And what I'm asking people is, imagine what would happen if we took away the fence. And so what would happen there is that we would have more farming practices that embrace ecological principles, and we can do that just simply by changing the grazing and by focusing more on how the soil functions, because we cannot have really good fresh water with a soil that's leaking poison. So we need to change how the soil functions, and we can do that through changing the grazing regime.
So one of the ideas that has come out in the work up to this election is the government implementing a royalty on commercial use of water. Will this be bad for farmers? Will this be detrimental even?
This will, if that happens, that will change the way farmers view water, make no doubt about it. And they will look more closely at things like, for example, soil surfaces, okay? All of a sudden you'll want a soil surface on your property that's absorbing the maximum amount of moisture that it possibly can. You want soils that absorb moisture rapidly and release it slowly. So that's going to completely change how we look at our grazing as well and how we do our cropping practices, because a lot of issues come out of cropping as well with mixing this with turning the soil over, and that leads to a lot of other greenhouse gas issues as well. All those kinds of things will come together. So by a change in the economics around water, that's going to change an awful lot of practices that farmers do on the land.
So yesterday, Federated Farmers made a pledge to make rivers swimmable. Is this something that is really important for farmers?
I would think so. I think, you know, when I go and sit at the kitchen table with a farmer, I have yet to meet any farmer that doesn't want to improve how their land functions. Okay, and that means if they can improve how their land functions, you're going to have cleaner water. You cannot have cleaner water without the soil enhancing its function as a living organism, as a cleanser of what goes on. And so really, I mean, there's agreement by, you know, and I'm surprised that it's taken so long for the industry to get to this space. What the drama is that, you know, we're going to battle on how that's going to happen. Because right now, a lot of the issues that farmers are dealing with are really associated with the gender of agribusiness, in particular the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, because there's this assumption that a lot of people make that farmers use, you know, they have all this runoff from cattle and things like that. They're polluting rivers. This is just a general assumption. But it does actually benefit farmers to have clean water. So, I mean, it makes sense for a government to endorse this idea of clean water and work hand in hand with farmers.
Well, what will happen is that clean water will be the outcome. What will change is a lot of management practices that farmers are currently using. And those management practices will, I mean, there's an opportunity here, for example, for farmers to become more profitable as a result of doing things differently. Right now what happens is that a lot of farmers reach for their shelf in terms of trying to deal with problems, but a lot of those solutions on shelf, from off the shelf, are actually not addressing the root causes of those problems. They're merely treating the symptoms. And what that does is perpetuate a lot of costs for farmers that they could remove if they actually started focusing on the root causes of many of the issues that they were dealing with regarding their productivity.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. Yeah.
Now, we're continuing our water coverage today on The Wire, so looking at water as an election issue. Now, following Federated Farmers' announcement yesterday that they were committed to making rivers swimmable, we're now live on the phone with their water spokesperson, Chris Allen. Kia ora, Chris.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Oh, having a great day, actually. It's good to actually be out and about when it's not raining. We've had quite a torrid winter.
Indeed, it is. It is. We're on the up, on the way to summer. So, so let's talk about the announcement yesterday. What pushed Federated Farmers to make this pledge?
Look, it's not just Federated Farmers. This is 80% of all the pastoral users of land in the country, all the organisations that have an influence over that. And it's nice to have an aspirational target. You've got to know where you want to go. We've been working with limits, implementing limits up and down the country, riparian planting, precision agriculture, all these neat things. But what's it actually building to? Well, farmers, we all want to go swimming in our rivers. Most of us can. There's one or two that are not, don't cut the mustard. So it's time to actually focus our eyes, our hearts and attention on what are the tools that we need to get some of those other rivers that we have an influence over the line.
Mm. And so the announcement yesterday was a little bit light on detail. What do you see as the steps to getting to this goal?
Well, I think that there's the key word. It's steps. We've focused catchment by catchment up and down the country, but when we go into discussions with our communities and whatever, we know that we want swimmability to be the target. So what are all the tools that we need in the toolbox? Are the tools that are actually missing? Do we need to invest in some of those other understandings? Do we have to make some really hard calls? And over a period of time, like our kids, our grandkids, they'll have that opportunity to go swimming in those rivers that we all grew up in. And by the way, most of us still can go swimming in some really neat rivers.
Mm. I mean, I suppose it's almost symbolic in a way that it's Federated Farmers coming out and explicitly saying, look, we're on board with the same goals as, you know, environmental groups and a number of different political parties wanting to make rivers swimmable. I guess it's just now comes to the part of negotiating what steps must be taken in order to get there.
Yeah, if you know where we all want our goalposts, and look, we've been saying for a long, long, long time, I don't know a farmer who has said, no, I don't want to be able to go swimming in a river. I don't know of one. There might be one out there. But however, if you know where you want to go, it's amazing what you can actually achieve when the whole community gets in behind an issue, whether it be catchment restoration, whether it be whatever. But if the target is swimming, right, we might have to look a bit harder at some of the issues that we're dealing with at the moment. But let's start that journey. Let's start it as one, and that there's all the food producers around the country getting together and knowing what we're trying to achieve.
And so when Labor came out with their plan recently to implement a royalty on the commercial use of water, Federated Farmers spoke out pretty strongly against this. Why is this not a way to approach the issue of increasing water's swimmability?
Well, let's just say they got two completely separate issues going on. One is water quality, and water quality equals swimmability or whatever. The other one is irrigation. Irrigation does not equal pollution. Well-managed irrigation actually is much more, it's more like precision agriculture, where you're putting the right amount of water on, the right amount of nutrients, you know what sort of crop you want to grow. That is not the problem. The irrigation is not the problem. Because in some parts of Canterbury, for example, they might have 500 mils of rain. Just 10 k's up the road, they might get a metre. All that irrigation is doing is balancing out that certain times of year, a little bit more water goes on. So irrigation does not equal pollution is one point. The other point is most of the irrigation, 85% of it, is in the South Island. Not all the polluted rivers in the country are in the South Island. So there's a complete disconnect between about water quality and irrigation. And then you have to sort of have a bit of a tune around it and say, well, okay, 60% of that irrigation is in Canterbury. 25% of that irrigation is in mid-Canterbury. And then about 10% of it is in Otago. Otago's got beautiful water, pristine, so are large parts of Canterbury. There's two or three hot spots. We know that. There's already regional plans that are dealing with those issues. So really, it's a real disconnect. And it's a really inefficient way of gathering money to take it to Wellington, lose a bit, and I'm sure there'll be a treaty partner will want to have a claim about that, and then drift that money back to a region that probably doesn't really need all that money anyway.
And so, okay, so Labor, you're not happy with Labor's proposal. Are there any other parties who have a more viable solution in Federated Farmers' head? What political party has the best on offer for the interests of the people that you're representing?
Well, let's say that the big catalyst issue that started all this was bottled water. Labor have come out and they've said, the water comes out of an urban issue, out of an urban reticulation, no, you won't have to pay for that water because you're already paying for the reticulation. So we've got a bit of an issue there. Green Party have sort of said the same thing. So let's just, if there's a problem around bottled water, let's deal with the issue around bottled water. It's complicated, but deal with that particular issue. But look, we will deal with any party that agrees with what Federated Farmers says. And our policy is go into catchments, target the catchments that have got the issues, and actually fix those catchments that have got a problem. Prioritise. And actually, that's what the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment says. Prioritise your resources, and you'll make the biggest impact in a sooner time. So that is the way that we look at it. And if any other parties would like to agree with that, I'm sure we'd be very supportive of it.
And so earlier on the show, we spoke to Marnie Prickett, who's kind of spearheading, I suppose, the freshwater rescue plan that's been put forth earlier in the year, and that was agreed upon by 16 different environmental and tourism and business groups around New Zealand as the steps towards making improving the state of New Zealand's freshwater. What are your thoughts on this approach? Do you think it's at odds with the interests of farmers?
Look, some parts are and some parts aren't. Look, Federated Farmers, we've been around the Land and Water Forum. That's an organisation with multi-stakeholders from environmental through to development, through to hydro generators, farmers, you know, all around the table, trying to work out how we can best manage New Zealand's fresh water. And one of the big recommendations that came out of them, that it's affecting everyone's lives as we speak, is the National Policy Statement on Fresh Water, setting limits. So setting irrigation take limits or consumptive take limits out of rivers and water quality aspirate limits and all those sorts of things, that's where that wadeable, swimmable discussion sort of all came from. So, look, we're all sort of moving in the same direction. Look, there's some points in there which is just straight out anti-regional, in my view, which is we need irrigation as a good thing. Irrigation is good. Water storage is good. The tourism going hand in hand with the community who are trying to make better water in their rivers, because sometimes rivers just go dry, and actually having stored water as part of an irrigation scheme where the community benefits, they've got better swimming opportunities in a river rather than it being dry, it's good for ecological health. So some of those things, just a little bit narrow-minded, but yeah, all in all, we don't need to limit what we're. We don't have to cut back on some of the activities on our land. We've just got to work and understand and invest in the science to know that if we're doing something that's dumb, we need to cut back on some of that stuff because the environment can't assimilate it. We don't want to leave a mess for another generation, but we've just all got to be around that discussion. So, yeah, it's a 10-point plan or whatever it is. Some of the points are on song. Some of them, yeah, we don't really agree with.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Chris.
Okay, absolute pleasure.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
And just finally on today's show, continuing with our water theme, we spoke to Mark Schulenberg of the University of Otago and spoke to him about the state of New Zealand waters.
We know that in some regions there's a lot of pressure on water. There's a lot of pressure to take water for irrigation, which leads to intensification of agriculture. And in a lot of regions there's a lot of stock, farm stock, on the land, high stocking rates. And in those regions there's often a lot of pressure put on the water quality. So as we know, the swimmability of our rivers isn't where the general population seems to want it to be, so there's work to be done, and there's also work in terms of the ecology, in terms of threatened species, in terms of toxic algal blooms that are occurring in many parts of the country. So we definitely have some problems to solve, and it's, you know, it's a combination of some of the farming activities, but also there's urban development. And so some of our urban streams and lakes are also quite bad. So I think it just needs some work done generally.
Well, what do you think should be done or could be done to combat issues of water quality and swimmability?
I know that the farming industry would like to do as much of business as usual as they can and rely on technological advances to help mitigate some of the pressures that they put on water. But I guess some people are calling for a radical change in the way we farm so that the farming actually farms in harmony with the environment rather than relying on a lot of technological advances to correct the problems and to correct the pressures. So, I mean, there are different approaches that people are taking, and probably we need to look at both quite seriously. I know a lot of work in the last 10 years has been done on trying to mitigate the effects of dairy farming, and there's been some success there, you know, with the fencing and getting stock out of waterways and all that. There's been some success, but obviously it's not enough. So in terms of, you know, those mitigations and the technological advances, they can help, but they may not be enough. There may also need to be some fundamental changes to farming, such as the stocking rates that can be used in certain sensitive catchments.
In regards to farming, would you say the dairy industry is the main culprit?
Well, the dairy industry does have a problem because the cows actually excrete nitrogen in their urine, and if you've ever seen a cow pee, there's a huge amount, there's liters of urine that's high in nitrogen that goes straight into a small patch of ground. And if the soil there where the cow is peeing can't absorb all that nitrogen in one giant dollop, then that nitrogen is going to go right through the soil into the groundwater potentially. And this is what we're seeing. We see a lot of the soils unable to absorb the large amounts, the large pulses of nitrogen, of urine, that are going on the paddocks. So that is a pretty fundamental problem. How do you solve that? Well, in many parts of the world, they've just taken the cows off the paddocks, and they keep cows indoors, and they have basically a closed system. They bring feed to the cows, and they retain all the wastes, and they treat the waste with waste treatment systems. And that works. In Europe, they've done that, and that has basically led to a vast improvement in water quality in many of the lakes and rivers, in, say, example, Switzerland, Germany, places like that.
Mm. Lastly, what do you make of the government's target to make 90% of New Zealand's lakes and rivers swimmable by 2040?
I think that's a great target, and I think... it actually could. I think there's no reason it couldn't be brought forward. That seems like a long time away, and a lot can happen between now and then. I think probably most people would agree with that target and would probably like to see that brought forward.
So you think the time frame's just too long?
Well, yeah, we're talking more than 20 years to achieve that. So how committed the government is to that, I kind of question that given the long time frames and the fact that there'll be many governments between now and then, and many things potentially will have changed in terms of agriculture and whatnot. So, yeah, I think most people would like to see the cleanup happen faster than that.
The Wire.
Sitting on the beach watching transnational criminal scum neoliberal filth.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.